Our brother Hayes said a while ago something that is so, so needed. And that is, he scorned or and fellas, no one comes in now after I start preaching, and we know that. Now, nobody else comes in. Just don't let the folks come in after I start preaching. We have gotten to the place to where we are being destroyed by our own apathy. We're living in a delusion that it could not happen in America. We feel that because we have never had bombs drop on our shores, nor wars fought other than on our campuses, but wars fought by foreign countries, we've had to dodge no bullets, we've had to dig no foxholes, we've not had to worry about an attack on American soil in all of our lifetime. All we know is pictures we've seen on television of the bombs dropping in Germany, Japan, Guam, Okinawa. All we know is what we've seen on television in our newspapers about the battles of Okinawa, Iwo Jima. All we know is watching wars, pictures of wars that have taken place in other countries. Because of this, we have become inoculated with the idea it could not happen here. But ladies and gentlemen, our apathy is about to cause it to happen here. Because we don't much care. As long as we can get a bigger steak on our plates and a bigger salary or a bigger amount of money on our paycheck, as long as we can get less time to work and more money for the less time, nobody much cares anymore. Nobody is much concerned. And so our country languishes on the brink of catastrophe and destruction because nobody much cares. You know, here's the basic thing about America. Everybody wants to be something, but nobody wants to follow on. Nowadays, a young girl can be raped and assaulted on our streetcars and on our trains, while people, for fear they'll be injured, watch beside her and let her be attacked. Nowadays, nobody rises to the defense of anybody else. Why? We don't want to get involved. We don't want to get involved. We want to be Americans, but we don't want to follow on. We want to be church members, but we don't want to follow on. We want to be patriotic, but we don't want to follow on. Oh, we want to lament the fact. We lament the fact that a girl went to the shower room, male shower room, in Bloomington, Indiana, at the University of Indiana, and took a shower in the nude with the nude boys in the shower room. We lament that fact, but we don't want to get excited about it. We lament the fact that our boys were the Pueblo sailors captured in Korea. We lament it. Brother Hayes, we worried about you, and we prayed for you, but we wouldn't dare get excited about getting you free as the communists do about trying to destroy America. We don't want to get involved. We want to eat, drink, and be merry. Let the next generation go to the devil. As long as we can have a good time and go on our weekend picnics, we'll even have our holidays changed to Monday and forget about what they really mean so we can have longer weekends. And that way we can eat, drink, be merry, and go on weekend trips and let the world go to the devil and have our good time. Nobody's much concerned. Now, the great reason is we don't want to follow on. Everybody, as Dr. John Rice says so often, everybody wants to be in the army of the Lord, but everybody wants to be in a quartermaster corps. A pencil pusher, if you please. Nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to die for America much anymore. Nobody wants to say, you dirty communists, you're not going to take over our nation. Nobody wants to say that anymore. Yes, we'll lament the fact when it happens, and we'll mourn and wail and wish we had done something about it. But, brother, if we don't do something about it now, we won't have any chance to do anything about it in a few years. We have got to get busy for God. Now, that's the same about church members. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Oh, I get up here and say, if you want to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven, please raise your hand. Everybody wants to know you're going to heaven. Everybody wants to get just inside and have a seat, do nothing for God, sacrifice not one thing, not come to church on Sunday night, not come to church on Wednesday night, not live any different because you're a Christian, but we all want to get just inside and have a seat. Now, the honest, simple truth is, we're going to be destroyed, our country, our churches, our freedom, and everything we hold dear, unless we learn to heed the admonition of the writer Hosea, follow on to know him. Are you not saved? Follow on and be saved. Are you saved? Follow on and get baptized. Are you baptized? Follow on and join a Bible-preaching church. You belong to the church? Follow on and come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Follow on and give God the tithes and the offerings. Do you give God the tithes and offerings? Follow on and tell people about the Savior and work for God. Do you work for God? Tell folks about the Savior? Follow on and give everything to God. And so what the writer is saying here is we have enough people who are religious, But we don't have enough folks who follow on and give everything to God. Dr. J.B. Lawrence said, we don't need more Christians. We need better Christians. For if we had better Christians, then we would have more Christians. And what we need, I've said it so often. We have hundreds of folks here in this church and here this morning. That's why I preach like this on Sunday morning. Hundreds of you. Good people. I mean, you're fine folks. You pay your debts. You're honest. You like me. Everybody likes me. But you like me. You like the church. And if I were to leave, you would cry, except you wouldn't come to church on Sunday night to see what I have to say. If this church went down to 500 in Sunday school, you'd be sorry. You think this is the best church in all the world. But you're half in, half out, half on, half off, half hot, half cold, playing at the job. If company comes on Sunday night, you let home. Never give a tithe to God. Never give a dime more than 10%, if 10% to God. Never tell a person about Jesus Christ. Never read one chapter in the Bible. Never spend 10 minutes on your face before God in prayer. You still live like the world, drink like the world. You pour your liquor like the world. You talk like the world. You sing the dirty songs of the world. I've stood in this pulpit for 12 years, and I said, there ought to be something different about the people of God. We ought to rise up and say, we'll gladly stand for Christ and live for Him. Back down to years ago, Thomas Paine, the atheist that went up and down the length and breadth of our nation and preached his gospel of no gospel and laughed at the Bible and laughed at the existence of God, was preaching in a great crowd with two large balconies. And Thomas Paine screamed out at the end of his, he had swayed the crowd. People had listened intently and he had tried to make fun of God and laughed at God and preached the no Bible, no Christ, no God philosophy. When he finished, for a moment he looked out at the crowd and he said, what's this? God, if you're there, strike me dead. I dare you. Strike me dead. And he used some dirty words about God and said, yeah, you're not there. Strike me dead if you're there. Then he looked down at the audience and he said, all right, I'm alive. Now what are you going to say? And up in the top balcony, way back in the back, after a moment of hushed silence, a little 17-year-old girl got up and with a sweet, clear soprano voice began to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till Christ every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. And suddenly the entire third balcony stood to sing with her. And then he swept across the second balcony. And finally, the entire crowd of 5,000 people stood and sang together, stand up for Jesus, a trumpet call, obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. And as they sang, the entire crowd sang in unison till there was not a dry eye, it was said, in the house. And somebody asked, where did Thomas Paine go? And someone said he slipped out the side door when the little girl stood up for Jesus. You know what'll hush the Thomas Paines and Bob Ingersolls? Bob Ingersoll made this statement. He said, I can disprove every logic and philosophy about God except my mother's religion. My mother's religion. Right over here on Pershing Square in Chicago several years ago, where the nuts stand up and preach their philosophy. It's a square that used to be dedicated to freedom of speech. One of the Moody Institute students was walking down the street one day, and little boy walked out and looked up at him and began to wave his finger, and he felt sorry for him. Walked on down the way after a while. He heard an old man standing up preaching on Pershing Square. He's laughing at God. And he did about what Thomas Paine did. He said, there's no God. Curse you. If there's a God, strike me dead. And the Moody Institute student listened intently. And finally he said, I dare anybody in this gathering to disprove what I've said, to prove there's a God. He didn't strike me dead. Why didn't he strike me dead? And the Moody student stood up and walked up to the speaker's rostrum and said, I'll answer your question. He said, just a while ago, I was walking down the street, and the little boy walked out. He had long, shaggy hair, a dirty face, holes in his clothing, he's barefooted. And he doubled up his fist at me and said, hey, let's fight! What do you say? Come on, let's fight! Little bitty fella. And the moody student said it wouldn't have taken me that long to have destroyed that little boy. But I didn't want to fight him. I wanted to love him. I wanted to wash his face. I wanted to buy him some shoes. I wanted to get him some warm clothing. I wanted to take him out and get him a good meal. And he said, mister, God's not going to strike you dead because God loves you. And God wants to save you and wash you up and make something of your life. That's what God wants to do. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, how we need some people to stand up for Christ. How we need some people who will say, I'll be more than just a church member. I'll follow on to know the Lord. Now then, there are three words in the Greek that are translated K-N-O-W in the English. Three. One of those words means to know somebody, like I know Brother Fisk. Brother Fisk, come in. I'd like to meet you, please. Dr. Billings, introduce me to Brother Fisk here, would you please?
Dr. Hyde, I'd like to meet Brother
Fisk. Well, I'm glad to... What do I say? I'm glad to... Tell me. Know you. Okay, fine. Now, ask me if I know Brother Fisk. Oh, yes, I know Brother Fisk. Now, that's the first meaning in the Bible of the word know. We're supposed to know the Lord like I know Brother Fisk. But the second word in the Bible that's translated in English, K-N-O-W, is to know better. To know better. Darlene, are you here this morning, Mrs. Fisk? In the nursery. All right, let me see. Mrs. Billings, are you here? All right. Ask me if I know Dr. Billings. Yes, I met Dr. Billings. Brother Beebe introduced me to Dr. Billings. All right. Now, Mrs. Billings, do I really know Dr. Billings? There must be some things about him I don't know. Is that right? Well, he just asked me if I knew him, didn't he? But I don't really know him, do I? Jim Lyons, used to go around the country. And people say, I understood you worked for Dr. Hiles for 12 years. Yes, that's right. And they say, what's Dr. Hiles really like? What's he really like? In other words, it's one thing to know Dr. Billings as I know him. It's another thing to know the fellow as Mrs. Billings knows him. Right? But there's a third word in the Bible that's translated K-N-O-W, and that's to know him fully. Now then, listen carefully, and I'll just speak a minute about each of these, a few minutes about each one, and we'll be gone. First thing we're to do is follow on to know the Lord. To know the Lord. Now listen to this. This may change your entire eternity. A person goes to heaven for one reason, and one reason only. He has to know the Lord. He has to know the Lord. But you say, Brother House, I belong to a certain church. Follow on to know the Lord. But you say, I've been confirmed as a child. Why don't you follow on to know the Lord? But you say, I was baptized when I was a baby. Follow on to know the Lord. But you say, I'm a Baptist. Follow on to know the Lord. You see, you don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist. We have a communion table here and one in the choir, in the balcony. And we take communion once every month, the first Sunday morning of each month. But nobody goes to heaven because they take communion. Do you believe that because a person reaches out and gets a little cup about that tall, and a little child came up for the day and said, couldn't we have more refreshments after we have church? And a little cup about that big and drinks it and takes a little wafer about that big square and eats it. Do you actually think a person's going to go to heaven because he does that? Even if I were to do some voodoo over it myself as a preacher? Do you actually think that a person can drink a little bit of juice and go to heaven because of it? Why, if that were the case, I'd drink a whole quart so I could get the best place in heaven, wouldn't you? I drank a quart of grape juice just the other day, a whole quart in one day. Well, I may be God, who knows? You actually believe, here's a baptistry up here, we'll baptize after a while. You actually believe that because somebody goes up here and dresses and puts on a white smock and gets in that water, and I say in obedience to the command of our Lord and Master, and upon a public profession of your faith in Him, I baptize you, my brother or sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Do you actually think that God would let somebody go to heaven because he just got wet? No, you've got to know the Lord. Now listen to me. If this Bible teaches anything, it teaches you don't go to heaven because you join a church. You don't go to heaven because you get baptized. You don't go to heaven because you live a good life. You go to heaven because you know the Lord. You've got to know the Lord. And so follow on to know the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you been born again? Do you know the Lord? Now listen, I say again. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in an ordinance. Salvation is not in a good life. Salvation is not in getting baptized. Salvation is not in taking communion. Salvation is when you, as a sinner, come to know the Lord. Now you say, how can I come to know the Lord? Four simple ways. First, four simple steps. First, you must know that you're a sinner. Secondly, you must realize that sinners are lost. Thirdly, you must realize that Jesus died on the cross as a substitute for sinners. And number four, you must by faith come to Him and say, in faith, believing, I do trust you as my Savior and my hope for heaven. Listen, if you this morning would say, and mean it, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know that Jesus came to earth and died on the cross to save sinners. And this morning, in this room, I do receive Jesus as my Savior. If you meant that, you could walk out of those doors on your way to heaven. You say without joining a church, without joining a church. You say without getting baptized, without getting baptized. You say without taking the communion, without taking the communion. You say without being a Baptist, without being a Baptist. You do not have to join a church to go to heaven. You do not have to take communion to go to heaven. You do not have to get baptized to go to heaven, but you've got to receive Christ personally as your Savior. Now you say, how do you feel when you do that? It doesn't matter how you feel. For example, when Brother Fisk got married, did you know what Darlene Fisk did when he got married? She laughed. She just laughed at the altar. And the preacher said, repeat after me the following words. And she said, I, Darlene Fisk, take thee, C.W. Fisk. This is sort of funny. And but you know what Mrs. Billings did? Mrs. Billings cried. She said, I take, and it is sort of sad. Let me ask you a question. Do you get married because you cry at the altar? Or do you get married because you laugh at the altar? Oh, I marry a lot of people. I never will forget when, who was it? It was, who? You let me do the preaching. You just play the organ. And, it was Dave Hammers. When Dave Hammers got married, I thought he was going to pass out. And he wishes he had, but, we've had young ladies at this altar by the hundred since I've been pastor of this church for these almost 13 years. And some of them say, look at him and say, I take thee to my wedded husband, to have and to hold. And then some say, I take thee to my wedded husband, to have and to hold. And some say, they don't even look at the guy. They look at me. I take thee to my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. Let me ask you a question. Who's the most married? Huh? Then you don't have to cry to get married, do you? You don't have to laugh to get married, do you? You don't have to be poker-faced to get married, do you? What do you do to get married? You take the guy. As the old Indian ceremony, the chief said, want him, and the squaw said, ugh. And he said, want him, and the brave said, ugh. And the chief said, got him. And that's it. By the way, you're not saved because you rolled down the aisle and shouted. You're not saved because you cried. You're not saved because you saw a vision. You're saved if you personally accepted a living Christ as your Savior. You've got to follow on to know Him. But then it goes on to say, the second word know you'll find in the Bible means to know Him better. Our Lord wants you to do more than just know Him in salvation. He wants you to know Him better. He wants you to get to know Him well. Somebody said, do you know Brother Hiles? No. Maybe nobody here really knows Brother Hiles. Do you know Brother Beebe? No. Maybe nobody here really knows Brother Beebe. Maybe a few. Now, we all know him. We all know who he is. He's the ugly guy that's on the left over here, the pastor, all the time. We all know who he is, but we don't. Now, we get to know him better as the years pass. We get to know him better. And the Lord is saying here, we ought to understand each other better. Now, how do you get to know somebody better? Tell you how. You go where they live. Or you go to their office. If you came this morning into my office and I weren't there, you'd pretty well know a lot of things about me when you first walked in the door. First thing you'd see is a juicer. You'd say, that guy has juices. You'd notice a refrigerator over in the corner, and you'd open it up, you'd find carrots in there. You say, well, I guess he eats carrots. No, I think he juices the carrots, because I see a glass here. It looks like carrot juice along the side of it. And then you'd look in, you'd say, well, look at all those oranges. Somebody sent me the prettiest oranges. Oh, they're from Texas. You say, well, he likes orange juice, too. Yes. And by the way, you'd know I was a Christian. I've got 18 Scofield Reference Bibles in my office. And you'd know I'm a good Christian. You wouldn't know it to know me, but you'd know it to go in my office, you see. And you could learn about me. How do you learn to know the Lord better? Hang around His house. You come on Sunday morning, come back on Sunday night, you come back on Wednesday night, and you hang around His house. You get to know Him better. How else can you know the Lord better? You know Him better when you go with those who know Him. You run around with those who know Him. As I said, Jim Lyons, folks used to say, what's Jack like? What's Dr. Jack Hiles like? You were with him a long time. What's he doing? And a fellow said, in fact, you told me, you used to ask him. Talk to him an hour upon hour. And the people across the country said, what's it like? Is Dr. Jack Hiles as mean as he seems? And he said, no, he's one of the sweetest fellows you ever knew in your life. But anyway, you know how you get to know the Lord better? You walk around folks that know Him. Before I hired Dr. Billings, I didn't know him very well. It was a very important thing for me to know him because we're going to give him our children. I talked to people that knew him. And, for example, I asked one fellow, I said, you know Bob Billings? He said, yeah. And I said, you do. What's he like? He said, he'll go to heaven if you don't run past it. I talked to another fellow about Dr. Billings. I said, what's he like? He said, he's always on the move. He's a little fireball. And talking about fire, by the way, you're fired. But anyway, little fireball, yeah. Well, what about it? And I checked and I checked and I found those who knew him best. And now I knew him. Did you ever meet somebody you'd never seen, but you said, I feel like I already finished it. Know you. Wonder why? Because somebody that loves you has been talking to them. The first time you say to her, take that girlfriend home. And your mother's going to say, why, Matilda, I feel like I already know you. Sure, that fellow from Birmingham. Mother's going to say, well, Matilda, I just feel like I already know y'all. And why? Because you've written home. You said she's the prettiest thing in the world. Her hair comes down the middle of her back. And her eyes are very friendly. They look at each other. She's the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your life. Mother, you just wait till you see her. And the first thing Mother's going to say is, I feel like I already know you. Why? Because you've written. And did you know you hang around the Lord? And Brother Fisk, we talk about the things of God. And Dr. Billings, we try to help our kids amount to something. And we talk. And Brother Beebe and I talk about the bus work and the things of the Lord. And after a while, we talk about it and you get to know Him better. Why? You hang around folks that know Him. How else can you get to know the Lord better? You read from Him. I have written 16 books. I'm just about to finish my 17th. And I go across the country, and people say all across the country. One lady said, I've read Blue Denim and Lace 14 times. That's what she said. I said, you cheapskates, you could have bought the rest of the books and read all of them in that amount of time. But I've read one book 14 times, she said. And she said, Dr. House, I feel like I know you already. I said, you know what? I've been reading this book now for many, many years, and I feel like I know Him better. How do you get to know Him better? Go to His house. How do you get to know Him better? Run around with folks that know Him. How do you get to know Him better? Read His book. And then, of course, you spend time with Him. But there's a third meaning of the word K-N-O-W, a third Greek word for K-N-O-W. One means to know Him. That's get saved. Another means to know Him better. That's to grow in grace and become a good Christian, know the Lord better. But there's a third, and that is to know Him perfectly. And that points to the day when the veil shall be drawn back and we shall see Him face to face as He is. Oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. Oh, I want to thank Him for His saving grace. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. So I know Him. I've been saved. I met Him. I know Him. I know I'm saved. I'm not trusting a church to take me to heaven. I know Him. But through these years, as I've been to His house and read His word and fellowship with His people, I've gotten to know Him so much better. And then one day, I'll get to know Him. yesterday morning. Dr. Billings and I were sitting in the office at the high school, our own high school. We were talking together about the building and the future of the school and a few problems. And the phone rang. Dr. Billings answered. He said, "It's an emergency, preacher. It's for you." And I said, "Hello." And Rose O'Brien said, "Pastor, I thought you ought to know. Bill McKeegan just dropped dead with a heart attack. 53 years of age, one of our fine men." And Brother Fisk, I got to thinking about those nights at 2 o'clock in the morning. You've called him, and the furnace would be out here at the church. He used to work for Bud the furnace man. And the furnace would be out here at the church, and he'd come down 2 o'clock in the morning and fix the furnace. I can recall the time when out at the parsonage where I live, the heat would go off, and Bill McKeegan would come out and spend the night in a below-zero night to get our heat back on. And the time, one time, he brought 350-some-odd visitors in just a few weeks' time to our church, and the bus routes that he operated, and so forth. And I got to thinking, Bill was a deacon here for many years. Did you know we have a lot of deacons in heaven now? And I just listed a few. Maybe I've forgotten some. But there's Deacon Kaufman on the pulpit committee here that called me to the church. And Mr. Tudor, his name is on this pulpit. This pulpit's placed here in honor of him. And then there's Mr. Gifford. And then there's Mr. Fields. And Mr. Ault, and Mr. Dunsworth, and Mr. McKeegan. Mothers and fathers, did you know? By the way, Bill never had a pain. Never had a pain. And had not one forewarning in the world. Did not have one discomfort. And yesterday morning, he started to get out of bed. Told his wife what he was going to do for the morning. He said, "You fix breakfast, and I'll do so and so." He got up, fell on the floor. That's it. You know, it doesn't matter right now whether Bill McKeegan had $1 million or $1.98. And by the way, fellows, did you know it won't matter then whether you were a seaman or an admiral? Won't matter at all. It won't matter, men, whether you owned the place or swept it out. It doesn't matter today whether Bill McKeegan left $1 million for his wife or left her in debt. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. Was he prepared to die? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. God has placed us here with 70, more or less, and we have enough time to prepare to die. I don't care how successful a man is. He's not ready when he dies. His life has been a failure. I don't care how unsuccessful it is. If he is not prepared, or how unsuccessful, if he is prepared to die, his life is a success. Down in Fort Smith, Arkansas, one day, the richest man in the county died, a multimillionaire, he died. They had his funeral in Fort Smith. They had a custodian and a maid. They had a Negro maid. It so happens she was a Negro. I'm not a racist, but it so happens she was a Negro. And it so happens that we Southerners do not speak quite as intelligently as you Yankees. I like it better. But we don't pronounce our words quite as well as you do. And the Negro Southerners, many of them, have an accent all their own. I'm not being unkind at all to the Negroes. But this Negro maid, she walked in that day, and they didn't know that the funeral home had brought the body in and put the body in the casket at the altar of the church. And she didn't know it. And so she was vacuuming down the aisle. And suddenly she bumped into a box, and she looked up, and there was a dead man. And her eyes got big, and she called the custodian, and she said, "Who that?" And he said, "That's Mr. So-and-so. He's the richest man in all of Fort Smith." And she said, "Is that right?" And he said, "I don't know how much he left." And she said, "I do." He said, "How much did he leave?" She said, "All of it." All of it. All of it. Do you know him? You say, "I've been baptized." Do you know him? You say, "I've joined the church." Do you know him? You say, "I've taken communion." Do you know him? You say, "For the house, I've taken the Holy Eucharist." Do you know him? Well, you say, "For the house, I'm a good boy." Do you know him? If you do, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. Do you know him? Forget this morning what you think about the Baptists or the Catholics, the Episcopalians. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you know him? If you died this morning, would you go to heaven? Would you? Do you know if you died this morning? How many can say for the house, I know for sure. I've trusted Jesus. I know him. I know. I'm not just a church member. I may or may not be a member of a church, but I know him. I've been saved. I know it. I know him. And I'd go to heaven if I died today. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you. You can lower your hands and bow your heads in a moment of prayer. Do you know him? Do you know him? Let there be no unnecessary moving around now, please. Do you know him? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could know him? Don't you think you ought to settle this matter? Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you never have been in a church like this before. Maybe you've never heard an earnest, sincere man stand up and try to alert you to the fact that without Christ it's hell, with Christ it's heaven. Maybe you've never heard the gospel of the grace of God before, how that Jesus died to save sinners. And if you would trust him personally as your Savior, you could go to heaven. Do you know him? Do you know him? I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor, I could not raise my hand a while ago. I could not raise my hand. For I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. Let there be no eyes open now. Every eye is closed just in a moment of prayer. I wonder if you'd be honest. Let's face the issue. Let's forget that I'm a Baptist and forget whatever you are. Let's just be friends for a minute. Don't you think you ought to be saved? Don't you think you ought to trust Jesus? Don't you think you ought to know him? I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I couldn't raise my hand a while ago, but I wish I could. I want to be saved. Yes, I do. I want to know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. You see, Pastor, I do believe there's a heaven, and I believe there's a hell, and I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't know that I'm ready. Pray for me that I might be a Christian. Would you quietly, on the lower floor first, with every eye closed, would you quietly lift your hand, please? If you'd like to know that you're going to heaven, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you, son. I see you. God bless you, young man. God bless these two fellows over here. God bless you right back here. God bless you, fella. Who else on the lower floor? You'd like to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You don't know it, but you think you should. God bless you, pal. God loves you. Over here on my left, God bless you. Over here on my right, 3, 4 in a row. God bless you, fellas. God bless you, little lady. God bless you. And God bless you back here. Yes, are there others? Be honest this morning. If you never join a Baptist church, that's okay. God bless you, pal. You can put your hand down. God bless you, sir. Are there others? You'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. Let's just face the issue. I've got to die. I want to know I'm ready. Pray for me. God bless you. I'm glad you raised your hand. God love you. God bless you, little lady. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. Include me in the prayer. God bless you, pal. I see you. Nobody's looking now but me, so you won't be embarrassed with your eyes closed. Who else would raise your hand? God bless you. I see that hand over here. Who else would lift your hand and say, I want to know that I'm ready to die. Pray for me. God bless you back in the back. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. God bless that man on my right. Yes, you've got to die. Who, fella, you don't know. It may be you that crumples at the bed tomorrow morning. We don't know. Every man in this church that's heard about Bill McKeegan dying has wondered if that could be you next. We all have. We've all wondered. I have. You have. That could have been me. That could have been me. Yes, it could. Who else would say on the lower floor, pray for me. I want to. Yes, God bless you, little lady. God bless you. God bless you back here. Yes. Are there others? In the balcony on my left, you'd say, I'd like to be saved. God bless you. Yes, there's several. I see you. Many. God bless every one of you. Yes, I see you. The center balcony, you'd say, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, there's several. Several. Amen. That's right. The balcony on my right, would you raise your hand? All over the place this morning. Yes, we have hands all over. Thank you. You may lower your hands. Now listen. I'm guessing that 50 or 60 hands have been raised this morning. Several of these fine sailors, numbers of them have said, pray for me. I want to receive Christ. Fellows, this morning you've come to a Baptist church, but that's not the important thing. You've come to a place where someone cares about you, and someone wants you to go to heaven when you die. I was a paratrooper. I jumped out of airplanes 19 times back in World War II. I know something about the service, but I know God loves you. And I know servicemen have hungry hearts, too. This morning, I pray you'll receive Christ. But there were dozens of others whose hands were lifted in the balcony, on the lower floor. I want to talk now to every person whose hand was raised, right where you are. Would you just from your heart talk to God right now? Just from your heart. And would you pray this prayer from your heart? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for sinners. And this morning, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. You can know Him. You can know Him.